Well, man, it is great. It is especially good to see you here this morning since you lost that hour of sleep. And so, we're just excited to have you here to celebrate and worship with us this morning. We're closing out our series today that we've been calling Transformed. For the last 9 weeks, we have been chewing on two verses of Scripture in Romans chapter 12. And each week, one of the things that we've been doing is we've been reading those together. And so I want to have you read these with me. The back screen seems to be out. I don't know if it just didn't get... Okay. So let's read these together, all right? Therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. I hope that that has really been seeping into your life over the last several weeks. Because this verse, I think, really gets to the core of who we want to be, people who are constantly in the process of being transformed. I think we can all believe that we need transformation. Things aren't as they should be. When God began to write the story of our universe, and like we said, as he spoke everything into being, it was good. And then he formed people. He said, this is very good. But then just three chapters into the story, mankind was deceived. And he chose to listen to the voice of the world rather than to trust God. And mankind has been conforming ever since. And we've made a pretty good mess of things, wouldn't you agree? Yeah, all you have to do is watch the news and you'll discover that things aren't where they're intended to be. But there is great news. There's good news, and that's that God didn't look at the mess that we had created and get angry and just say, all right, that's it, I'm out of here. God didn't, get angry and say, you get what's coming to you and just head off and leave us. No, he had incredible mercy and compassion on us. And he sent his son, to rescue us. And he wants to transform our lives. That passage of Scripture says, in view of God's mercy, when we take into account all that God has done for us, when we really get a view of his mercy, that is why we should give our lives to him and be transformed rather than conformed. So we've been talking about this transformation for the last 9 weeks. And so the real big question this morning is this: has anything changed? I mean, in the last 9 weeks, we've been focusing on transformation. So the big question is, what's changed in your life? Has anything changed other than the time? I mean, folks, God is in the business of transformation. He's in the changed business. He renews things. But we fight him on this. We don't do change very well. You know how I know this to be true is, how many of you have ever been to a high school reunion? Yeah. I mean, I don't know about you. I was talking to somebody the other day, and they were telling me about going to their 25th high school reunion. And they said it was like the most depressing thing they'd ever been to. And I said, well, why was it so depressing? And he said, because most of those people haven't changed a bit since high school. And, I know that to be somewhat true. I graduated from Newberry Park High School. And so I bump into every once in a while people who I went to high school with. And there's a whole bunch of those people that after all those years, they're just like the same as they ever were, right? They just haven't changed at all. And as I was pondering that, I thought to myself, other than the kind of like put on a couple pounds and lose a little hair, I'm thinking, when I bump into those people, do they recognize that something's changed in me? One of the great things that happened a while back is I got to go do like a mock wedding at the high school, and I walked on campus, and one of the teachers met me in the office, and I came in and I'm all dressed up in a suit and everything else to do this mock wedding thing, and the teacher, I looked at this teacher and I said, "Man, it's been a long time," and he looked at me and he says, "I just had to come see if it was true." And I told him, I said, "I'm going to take that as a compliment. That hopefully my life has changed since I was in high school." And he was just shocked that I had become a pastor. And I was immediately went back and thought, what would I do in this guy's class? But that's a good question for us to ask. If the people around us, the people that we work with, are they recognizing change in our lives? Because again, we don't do change well. Pastor Tony Evans, I love reading his stuff, and he says this. He says, "Every day, the average person in America gets out of the same old bed at the same old time and goes to the same old bathroom to look at the same old face in the same old mirror. And then you go to the same old closet and get some of the same old clothes, and then you sit down and have the same old breakfast at the same old table. And then you go to the same old garage, get in the same old car, and head to the same old, down the same old road to the same old job, and then you work all day for the same old pay for the same old person. And after several hours of doing the same old thing, you get back into the same old car, go back down the same old road to the same old house. And once you're at the same old house, you sit down in the same old chair and watch the same old TV programs. And at the end of that day, you go to bed in the same old way so that you can get up the next morning and start the whole routine over again." He calls it the problem of the same old stuff. You see, folks, here's what I firmly believe. God did not create us, and he certainly didn't send his son to redeem us so that we could live a boring, monotonous existence. God sent his son so that we could live life to the fullest. God created us and his son into this earth so that we could live on purpose, live with purpose, and so that we could partner with him to see the world transformed. And that's what this is all about, this series we've been doing on transformation. But as Professor Howard Hendricks says, in a world screaming for answers, Christians are stuttering. Are we really given the answers that people need? See, ladies and gentlemen, I'm convinced that the reason that many people aren't interested in church isn't because the claims of Jesus are too hard. It's not that our theology is too narrow-minded. It's because they know too many Christians who've spent too many hours at church, and they're not seeing the change in us. See, everybody says that they want change until someone tries to change something. And then everybody gets bent, okay? And I know this to be true, and I can prove it. If you'll help me, would you help me prove this morning? Okay. Someone said, uh-oh. Was that you? Okay. here's how I know it's true. Early on in the series, we told people, "Hey, change where you sit," and like one or two of you, bold ones, did it. Here's what I'm going to ask you to do. You got 1 minute. I want you to move this morning. Unless you're a visitor. Visitors, you just hang tight. Okay? Everyone, and here's the rule. You can still sit by your spouse and stuff like that, okay, or somebody that you came with, but you got to move at least one row. Okay? So you got to move this morning. So everybody get up and move. This is because it's like, you know, the time changed. So you got to at least move a row somewhere. So I really like this. You know what? This is pretty amazing, because one of the coolest things about this process is is that a lot of you moved closer. I like that. I'm going to do this more often. Exactly. See, that's my point. My point, and I... I was gonna come down and give you a seat. I just saying. So, see, now this is great because it really helps us more, especially because we're all still kind of partially asleep, right? But how far did you move? I mean, some of you went all the way to the other side, and you met somebody this morning. You bumped into somebody that you're like, oh, you go to church here. This is awesome. Yeah, because you oftentimes, I would encourage you to do this as often as possible. You're going to meet new people. And but the reality is be real super honest with me this morning. In a little way, I mean, some of you, I know some of you, the men I said, hey, we're going to approve this. I mean, somebody even said, oh, no. How many of you, there was just a little bit about either, oh, no, what's he going to do, or... like, I can't believe you're really asking me to move a chair. How many of you, honestly, be honest, okay? Yeah. See, change doesn't come easy for us. And the question for us is, has your church experience, okay, and we're just talking about what we do in here, has your church experience become so routine that when you're asked to move to a different seat, there's something inside of you that kind of gets bugged. It kind of cries out. It's like, Pastor Ken's kind of a jerk. Like, why would he do this? Doesn't he know that I'm still, like, suffering from an hour less sleep this morning? You know, like, what's his problem this morning? And then the reality is if that bothers you, I mean, and I know that we kind of make fun of this, but think about this. If that bothers you, Jesus is going to bother you. I mean, we serve a guy who, you know, was constantly on the move. He was constantly going to different places and changing everything and changing every life he came into contact with, because that is the God we serve. He's a God who specializes in change and transformation. And the reality is that Jesus, if we're going to follow him, we're going to have to get used to change and transformation. Change and transformation, if you're following the living God, it's going to become the norm. Not the thing that just happens every once in a while. See, and I firmly believe that we have to learn to turn our theology, what we believe about God, into our biography, the story that we write with his help. And if we believe that God can transform us, our lives can change, and they'd better change. See, folks, the most powerful tool in helping people who are far from God get connected to Christ is the power of a transformed life. And so as we wrap up this sermon series on transformation, I want to give you three quick things to hopefully keep this process of transformation going and moving forward. Okay, just because we're not going to talk about or have a series on transformation anymore, everything that we do here is about bringing change to our lives, change that God wants, and God wants to see happen in us. So the first thing is this, transformation is ongoing. Okay, that's the first one for you people who like to fill in the blanks. Transformation is ongoing. Like I said, we might wrap up the series, but the transformation continues. In Philippians chapter 1, verse 6, it says, being confident in this, he who began. Okay, he who began. So he began something in you. This process, and I don't know when it was for you. You know, maybe it was when you were, you know, in high school and you came and you found the Lord. Maybe you've been in church your entire life. You kind of like me. You know, I was in church when I was like 6 days old, and I haven't left since. And maybe that's you, but at some point he began something in you, and if he hasn't, then maybe today's the day that he wants to begin a new work in your lives and begin to transform you. But he began this good work in you, and guess what? Here's the best news of all, is that he started it in you, and he will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. Here's the thing about this verse that I think we all have to understand. It says, he's going to carry on the work in you, so it's not like you have to do it all. Okay? You just have to connect with him, and he will do the work. He will carry it on to completion until when? Till Jesus comes back. Okay? And Jesus didn't come back this morning, so you should be changing. And you keep changing until Jesus comes back. We don't get to a point and say, all right, enough is, I've changed enough. And you keep changing, you keep transforming until Christ returns. And that's the process that we want to be in this morning. You see, transformation is not just a one-time event. It's an ongoing process, and it's going to take effort on our part. We have to work at it. We have to struggle in it. A few weeks ago, Pastor Devin did a great job showing us through the process of metamorphosis and the life of the butterfly, how the caterpillar turns to the butterfly and all those things. And I heard this illustration I thought was just really pertinent for us this morning. See, we don't like the struggle. We don't like the change. We don't like the work of being transformed. And I heard about somebody who was watching a butterfly, it was starting to come out of the cocoon, and the person's looking at it, and the person's saying like, wow, that caterpillar's really having a hard time breaking out of that cocoon. And so they took a little pair of scissors, and they kind of clipped the side of the cocoon to make it easier on the butterfly. The butterfly comes out, but it couldn't fly. And looking into it further, the discovery is this, is that there is a design and a purpose for all that struggle. All that struggle helps the butterfly develop and move the muscles that are necessary so that when it finally breaks out of the cocoon, it's strong enough to move those new massive wings, because those wings are a lot bigger in comparison to just its body, right? And it needs those muscles in order to fly. And if we eliminate the struggle from the process, if we try to take the easy route and make it easy on us, then we never learn to fly. We just kind of flop around down here. And so every struggle that we work at, everything that we do in this process of transformation is simply preparing us to fly better. And I don't know what it is this morning, but I'm sure that there's some of you this morning going, I really wish that someone would just clip the sides of the cocoon I feel like I'm wrapped up in this morning and let me out. And just make it easy on me. But the truth is this, is that God is using whatever that is at this moment to strengthen you if you will let him, if you'll partner with him and allow him to make you stronger and transform you so that you can fly. Because if you avoid it, or if you take the easy way out, then the transformation really won't be complete. And you won't live life the way he intended you to live. There's a simple law of inertia that most of you know. Objects in motion tend to stay in motion. Objects at rest tend to stay at rest. I was thinking about this one. I thought, objects in motion tend to stay in motion. Objects at rest just sit in the same chair every week. Right? Folks, we have to let God move us and move us daily. Move us daily. Because even as we follow God, he doesn't want you to just stay in a spot. And he purposely, I think God purposely changes up things that we're supposed to do in order to follow him more clearly. In fact, I think the amazing thing, if you go back and you read through the life of Jesus, remember, he picked these guys, these 12 guys, and he said, come follow me. And he didn't go to a church and sit them all down for 3 years and say, all right, I'm going to tell you everything you need to know. Sit down and take notes. It's not what he did. He said, come and follow me. And every single day, it seemed like they were somewhere different, doing something different in a different way. And I think that there was purpose behind that, because we have to follow him every day. And we can't get just used to the way things used to be, because if we are, then we don't get anywhere. There's a great example in Scripture of this. And I think one of the things that happens is sometimes, for some of us who've been Christians for a long time, the longer you are a follower of Jesus, sometimes if you're not careful, okay, objects at rest tend to stay at rest, it gets harder and harder to deal with change. And there's a great illustration in the life of Moses. You guys may remember Moses, Ten Commandments guy, right? Just go watch Prince of Egypt if you need to catch up on the story. And so Moses was leading, you know, led the people out of Egypt, and they go to, they go through the Promised Land. And there were multiple times where the people were just, you know, they were whining, complaining. Just a week or so ago, for those of you who are reading through the Bible this year, I'm reading this part in the book of Numbers, right? In Numbers chapter 20. And in Numbers chapter 20, I'm reading along, and the people come to a place, and there's no water. Remember, there's no water. And so the people, what do? They do what the people do. They whine. Okay? They start whining, complaining. Oh, Moses, you just brought us out here in the desert to die. We have no water. Our animals have no water. We're all going to die, right? And so God, you know, and as I'm reading this, as I'm reading that passage, I'm like thinking to myself, hey, wait a minute, we've been here before. Okay, this happened before. Where is it? So I start flipping back. You know, I'm going back towards the beginning of the story more. And I realize that there was the same experience back in Exodus chapter 17. In Exodus chapter 17, same thing happened. The people are out in the desert, there's no water, and so the people, what do? They start, because that's what people do, okay? And so they start whining. And so God looks at, Moses goes to God and says, hey, what do I do about this? You know, all of your people are whining. And so God says, okay, that staff that you've got in your hand, you need to go over there and smack that rock, the big one over there, right? And he hits the rock, and what happens? Yeah, water starts gushing out. Now you got to understand, this is not just a little bit of water, okay? There's a million thirsty Israelites and all their animals that need water. This is like fire hydrant, you know, like water. It's just like, wow, water's just flying out of this thing, okay? And so now everybody's happy. At least they stop complaining for a little bit, okay? And then they go through this whole other process, and God's teaching them stuff in the desert and everything else. But then we come back to Numbers chapter 20. And we get there again, and the people are whining and they're complaining. We don't have water. We're all going to die. But the unique thing that happens in this story is that while the people are whining and complaining, Moses goes to God, which is the right thing to do. And he says, God, what am I going to do? And God says this. He says, take that staff that I've given you and walk over to the rock. But then he changes it up, okay? God changes it up a bit. He tells Moses, he says, hey, I want you to walk over there and speak to the rock. And I'm thinking, Moses is like, what do you say to a rock? Right? He's just like, what do I do here? Right? Because he's in some new territory. Okay? And God says, go speak to the rock, and the rock will bring out water for the people. But what does Moses do? Moses doesn't speak to the rock. And just like you and me, because maybe he thought, I'm going to look kind of silly if I'm talking to a rock. I know some of you wives are thinking, I do that all the time when I'm talking to my husband. And so it's not really all that strange, right? But the reality is that Moses walks over to the rock. God gave him very, very clear instructions. And what does Moses do? He takes the staff and he smacks the rock. Okay? To my amazement, water starts gushing out. And all the people are happy. Right? All the people get water. They get what they want. But here's what happens. Go home and read this story in Numbers chapter 20. It's amazing. God pulls Moses aside. Okay? People are over there filling their canteens and their hydro flasks and everything else. And God, Moses, come over here. God pulls Moses aside. He says, hey, we got a problem. Moses like, yeah, well, what? No, God, there's no problem. All the people are they got water. Everything's good. Everything's good because everybody's happy, right? God says, no, Moses, there's a problem here. And so Moses is like, well, what's the problem? And God says, because you failed to honor me. Think about that. But because you failed to honor me by obeying me and seeing me as holy in the sight of the people, okay? Because you reverted back to what you've always done, instead of listening carefully and doing the new thing I was telling you to do, Moses, this great man of God, the guy who brought us the Ten Commandments and everything, he says, Moses, because of that, you don't get to go into the promised land. And Ken goes, time out on the field. Like, come on, God. Right? I mean, I'm like, come on, God. I mean, this guy has been through a lot of stuff. He's put up with a lot of stuff with all these people whining and complaining through the desert and all this other stuff. And now because of this, he doesn't get to go in the promised land? Don't ever underestimate the importance of God's holiness and his desire to help us to be a holy people and to honor him by being obedient. And the problem is that so many of us, like Moses, get to a place in our walk with the Lord that we don't change. We're not following him anymore. We're sitting down thinking we're just enjoying him. And God's going, no, you got to keep following, because guess what? Here's what I love. This is the personal thing I love about God, because I kind of like adventure, is God's always changing it up. I mean, one day he might say, whack the rock with the stick, and the other day he may say, today we're going to talk to the rock. That is an amazing thing about our God. But what it requires of you and me, it requires that we pay very close attention to what God is doing, and we listen very, very carefully to his voice, and then we're quick to obey. You see, I think we're missing out on so much of what God has in store for us because we're afraid. We're afraid of change. We're afraid of transformation. But we need to be renewed, okay? And not just one time, not just a one-time deal. We need to be renewed day by day. In fact, in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, it says, therefore, we do not lose heart, though outwardly we are wasting away. Inwardly, we are being renewed day by day. How often does God want to renew us? Every single day. Not just on Sundays. Not just, you know, every year when we go to camp. I used to love, I got to speak at a lot of youth camps. And we go to camp, and every year, like the same kids, every year go to camp, hear the messages and stuff like that, and we're like, woo, camp is great. And at the last night of camp, same people every year, they go up and go, I need to rededicate my life to the Lord. And I'm thinking, you had to wait until you got back to camp? But that's kind of what we do. Where God is saying, no, he wants to renew us day by day. And God wants to change us daily. And I don't know about you, but that's exciting. Okay, so first off, transformation is ongoing. The next thing that I want us to really understand is this, is transformation, it's global. Okay? It's not just right where you are. God wants to change everything. He wants to change the world. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, starting in verse 16, it says, so from now on, we regard no one from a worldly point of view. OK, Okay, I mean, that just that line right there is really important. It means when you walk out the doors today and you bump into people, you don't regard them from a worldly point of view. Because remember, we're not supposed to conform to the world. We're supposed to be transformed, right? We're living transformed lives. So transform the way we think and the way we look at things, even the way we look at people. So we don't look at people. We regard no one from this worldly point of view, but rather we look at them from a different point of view. Right? We're looking at these people from an eternal perspective. We don't just see people and go, well, that's what they look like and that's who they are and look what they're wearing and all this other stuff. No, that's the worldly way to look at people. From an eternal perspective, there's really only one way to look at them. Are they lost or are they found? And if they're found, wonderful, then they're your partner in world transformation. If they're lost, well, then our role is to help bring them to a place of transformation. Because that passage goes on and says, though we once regarded Christ in this way, we do so no longer. Therefore, if anyone's in Christ, he is a new creation. Okay, a new creation has come. The old has gone. The new is here. All of this is from God who reconciled himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. That God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ, not counting people's sins against them. And he has committed to us the message of reconciliation. We are therefore Christ's ambassadors. Now listen to this. As though God were making his appeal through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf to be reconciled to God. Here's what he's saying. Once he transforms you, he puts in your path, he says, now that you've been transformed, you're going to help me transform other people. Quite simply stated, found people, find people. So the question is, who are you finding? If you're lost this morning, we hope you'll get found. And once you're found, who are you finding? Because God has given you the ministry of reconciliation. God is making, I love it, he's making his appeal, okay, through you. He's saying, you know, the God of the universe who can just speak and things happen. I mean, the amazing part of God's plan is this, is he could just make things happen, but he chose you and me to go on this mission of transformation with him. It's interesting, we were singing that song, The Reckless Love of God. When it comes to that, I'm thinking, woo, God. You're counting on us to do all this? You're counting on us to take the message to the rest of the world and to see the world transformed? I mean, that is amazing. And the world that we're supposed to be transforming starts the minute that you walk out these doors. The minute that you drive off the parking lot, there are people out there that need to be found. Last week we were saying that it's estimated here in the Kaneo Valley, there's probably 70,000 people within like a 10-mile, you know, radius that don't know Christ. So there's a lot of work to be done. And we used to have out on our parking lot down heading off into Reno Road. In fact, I was thinking about, Devin, I think your dad made the sign. There was a cool sign that we used to have, and it said, you are now entering the mission field. And some of you are like, what happened? Some of you are like, Ken's crazy. Maybe he took it down. No, that's not what happened. Okay? The sprinklers are what happened. Okay? It kept getting wet. Like, every day it was made of wood. It was really nice. And it kept getting wet, and then it finally, the wood, the post started to rot out, and I thought, we can't have that sign looking bad. And so finally we had to say, okay, but the problem was we didn't replace it. And so what we did, in fact, we have some things on order, but we've got new signs that we'll post at every exit as you are driving out, okay, that says you are now entering the mission field, okay? Because, folks, the reality is that that's what God is calling us to. He's inviting us to work with him. You get to partner with the Almighty God to do the work that He wants to do in the universe, in this area, in this planet. Okay? He wants to transform our community. Folks, that's why next Sunday is Serve Sunday. Okay? It's Serve Day next week, okay? Not because we just want to do something different. Okay? I mean, yes, I kind of like doing different things. But the reality is we're doing that because why? Because God wants to use you and me to transform the community. He wants us to get out there. And so people have said, well, why can't we do it on a Saturday? Well, we could, but it's making a statement. Okay, this is why we do it. It makes a statement that, guess what? You can come and hear a sermon 51 other weeks of the year. Okay? Next Sunday, you're going to go be one. And you're going to be that to your neighbors. That's why we want you to have eyes and see what's going on so that we can do stuff in our neighborhoods where people are going to see and hear the message of transformation. And we may just transform, you know, somebody's yard, somebody's garage, somebody's house, somebody's issue. We may transform, and that may start a process by where they come to know Christ in a new and deeper way. So He wants to transform our community. He wants to transform our city. He wants to transform our county. Okay, and it's been awesome to watch some of our people go like just up to Montecito and other places. You know, we're helping fire victims and doing things because God wants to use us to care for people and to transform things. And we want to transform this, you know, California, Southern California. We're into transforming this place, right? And so because of that, we partner with different people. And I want to introduce you to somebody that's with us this morning. So Dave and Michelle Geyer, I'm going to have you guys come on up. This is Dave and Michelle. Yeah, just come on. You guys can come on up. See, I like the fact that you're just trusting me. You're clapping for them even before you even know them. I love it. And so Dave and Michelle they're friends, and we hardly know each other. So, but we've gotten to meet each other, and Dave and Michelle have been working with New City Church. Many of you, that might sound familiar. A few years back, we partnered with a pastor named Kevin Haw down in Los Angeles, and we started working with them to plant churches all over the Los Angeles area. And one of the areas that that they identified and said, "Hey, we need to do something over here," is an area in Sherman Oaks, basically.
The valley.
Yeah, down in the valley, in the San Fernando Valley, just kind of real close to Van Nuys Boulevard and the 101 freeway. And these guys were faithfully, you know, being part of what was happening at New City in LA. And they said, "Hey, we're going to go and do this." And right now, I mean, you're teaching school in Burbank,
yeah,
right? Or you're a assistant principal and stuff. And he's committing himself to, and they're committing their family to go and say, "Hey, we're going to do this, and we're going to launch this church here in the valley." And so because of our partnership through Stadia and New City Church, we're coming alongside them as a church family. We were telling you a couple weeks ago how we're doing some things and some of the funds that we've got are going to some church planting. We're putting a face to it this morning, okay? And one of the things they're getting all ramped up to launch, and so one of the things they needed is for people to go and to canvas. That means go say hello to all the people that live there and invite them to their launch services. And so we actually will have a small team of people that next Sunday on Serve Day are going to actually, you know, it takes about a half hour-ish or so to get over there. We're going to send a group of people down there to help them during Serve Day canvas the neighborhood and invite people to go. So that might be something. If you're super interested in doing that, let me know and we'll make sure you get on that team. But we just wanted to invite them here this morning. They actually got to sit together in church, which doesn't always happen when you're trying to lead and pastor a church. And so we just wanted you to meet them this morning, and we'll have other opportunities where they'll be, I'm sure they'll be back, and we'll hear from them about what's happening. But I didn't want to, you know, take a lot of their time. So, but what I do want to do, since we've got them here, is I want to pray for them real quickly. And then we'll kind of continue on and wrap things up. So would you pray with me? And in kind of Newberry Park form, if you want to just reach a hand out. And yeah, Lord, Father God, we just pray for David and Michelle and their family. Father, we thank you for their commitment to you that causes them to accept this ministry of reconciliation, to go into this neighborhood in the valley that is densely populated, that is full of people and full of people that need to know Jesus. And God, we just pray that, Lord, you would use them in a mighty way. Father, we're thankful that, Lord, we were able to cross paths, and Lord, we get this opportunity to partner together to see you do your amazing work. And Father, I just pray, Lord God, that you would bless them, that Father, you would keep them, that Father, you would provide for them, that you'll make your face shine on them, bring them peace when they need it, give them energy when they need it. Father, just provide every good thing for them so that they can do the work you're calling them to do. And Father, help us to be aware and to come alongside and to do all that we can do, Father, to help people be transformed through their ministry. God, we thank you and we praise you and we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Absolutely. Yeah. So make sure if you see them, you know, if you see them out, just make sure you grab them and say hello for them. And it, like I said, if you want to be part of that next week, you can let me know. But so God wants us to transform, and then he wants us to transform the world. And the good news is we're doing that. See, the last point I want to make this morning is transformation requires movement. That's why we made you move this morning, okay? Jesus did not say, come and sit down here. He says, come and follow me. And in that follow me, it kind of imagines that he's going somewhere, right? And he wants you to go with him. And the verse that really encapsulates our whole purpose as a church is Matthew 28:18-20. It says, Jesus said to them, all authority on heaven and earth has been given to me. I always say that's the divine because I said so. Okay. He says, therefore, go and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I've commanded you, and surely I'm with you always, even to the end of the age. Remember that end of the age thing? That until Christ comes back? What's supposed to happen until Christ comes back? You're supposed to be changed, and we're supposed to change the world. Okay? Because changed people change things. And so the reality is that God is calling us to be part of the change. And so that little word go in the first part of that passage, it's interesting. I've studied this hundreds of times. It's called a contemporaneous participle. Okay? Got to learn something new when you come to church, right? Contemporaneous participle. It means that it is an ongoing process. Okay? It assumes that we're going somewhere. It really is best translated as you're going. So as you are going today, wherever you might be going, and whoever you are bumping into, you don't see them from a worldly perspective. You say, hey, what is our role here? How am I going to help transform somebody else? You can only truly do that if you're being transformed yourself. So the question this morning, I mean, we've got things that we're doing all over the world. Some of you have seen these things over in room F23 as you're grabbing coffee. We've got these amazing crosses that are from Cambodia, and we've got Jim and Bev Meek have been faithfully there every week, and you can get a hold of one of these, or you can support a pastor over in Cambodia, and that is an amazing thing. I'd encourage you to go check that out. We got a team going to Ecuador this summer. There's all kinds of things that are happening, so there's no excuse to not jump on board. God's doing lots of stuff, and he's doing lots of stuff in us, and he wants to do a lot of stuff through us. So the question this morning is, where do you need to move? If transformation requires movement, where do you need to move? This morning, it might be that someone here needs to move just simply from lost to found. that maybe this morning you're here and you don't know that Christ is your Savior. And if so, this morning, I just want to encourage you, you know, come and chat with myself or anybody else you see up here on the platform. We would love to talk to you about what it means to have life changed, transformed. And you need Christ to do that. See, God doesn't expect you to do it all yourself. You don't just go and try to be better. You simply move closer to Him. He'll do the work of transformation in you. Remember, He who began a good work in you will carry it through to completion. Don't just go home and go, okay, I just got to do more and be better and all these things. No, the good news is you just move closer to Him. You just get deeper into relationship with Him. He'll help the transformation take place. And if you this morning aren't in a relationship with Him, my prayer this morning is that you'll come and allow us to share with you what it means to get into that relationship. And as He transforms you, He will take you on an amazing adventure and not only transform you, in the process, He's going to use you to transform the world. And He really has done that, first and foremost, through the giving of His Son. And each week we come together and we celebrate the Lord's Supper. And communion reminds us that we have a God that will go to incredible lengths to prove His love for us. So much so that He sent His one and only Son to come and to die on a cross for our sins, to pay the price that we couldn't pay, to transform us, to bring us from lost to found, to help us to be able to continue to follow Jesus and do amazing things. Now He wants to use us to transform the world. And so this morning, as we serve communion, as you take those emblems this morning, and you can hold on to them if you want, and you can take them at whenever you'd like. I know some people, you know, take them and they put the cup back in. That's whatever you're comfortable with this morning, spend time with the Lord who gave everything to change everything so that we could be in relationship with Him. So let's pray together. Our Heavenly Father, we thank You this morning. We praise You, Father, for all that You continue to do. We thank You, Father, that You didn't just kind of do something once and then leave, that, Father, You are with us on a continual day-by-day, moment-by-moment basis. And, Father, You are in the process, if we will let You, of transforming and changing us into the image of Your Son, Jesus Christ. We thank You for His sacrifice and what He's done for us. And Father, as we take a look at that and in light of His great mercy, Father, help us to be able to share the good news of Jesus Christ with others. God, You're amazing. We love You. We praise You. And thank You for this time to celebrate and worship You. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.